If you do have your Bibles, I would invite you to open them again to this 91st Psalm. Psalm 91, we're continuing our journey through what we are calling the Songs of Wisdom. The Songs of Wisdom. And you will remember, if you've been with us, that these Songs of Wisdom are teaching us about the Christian experience here on this side of glory. We know that because of sin being introduced into the world by Adam and Eve, there recorded for us in Genesis 3, that oftentimes hard circumstances, difficult situations seemingly come into our paths day by day. And we think about this Christian experience, and we think about the answers that we need to our questions. Where are we to find security, protection on this side of glory? We know that security, protection is something that's very important for us on this side of heaven. Actually, you know that many commercials kind of play towards your need, or your enthrallment with security. We desire to be secure. And if you're a football fan, you know that ADT had a commercial a couple of years back that had Luke Kuechly, one of the best linebackers in all of pro football, coming, and he would tackle the bad guys, and they would say, "This is the kind of protection that you want. You want someone like Luke Kuechly coming to protect your house. Therefore, you need an ADT security system." And everybody picks up their phones and say, "Yes, that is the kind of protection I need." And so we're obsessed with this. We're this idea of protection, and yet we don't have a security system that helps us in the midst of hard circumstances and difficult situations. You know, it's the Christian life where we face sickness and trouble and sorrow. And it's real easy for us to cast our affections and our desires to things of the world, trying to achieve this level of security that we need. And so we react in certain circumstances where those circumstances, when they're full of frustration and adversity and anxieties, look first to things of the world. Well, this psalm tells us that we need to look first and foremost to our Lord, who is our refuge and our fortress. Many commentators say that this 91st psalm is a song that we are to sing in the midst of danger. In the midst of danger. And we know something about that danger, don't we? We have this experience, if you will, of being vulnerable in the midst of dangerous circumstances. And the psalmist writes these stanzas so that we might know that it is our Lord that keeps us in the midst of dangerous situations, that He is the one that keeps us safe and secure in this unsafe and insecure world. And so if you just let your eyes glance to this psalm, I want to show you how we're going to break this up. Verses 1 and 2 is going to be the psalmist telling us that he knows from personal experience that the Lord is his refuge and his fortress. And so he comes and he says, "You are to listen to me, because I have experienced the care of the Lord in the midst of these dangerous circumstances." In verses 3 through 13, he will tell us, he will exhort us to cast our eyes upon Jesus, who is our stronghold. And then in verses 14 through 16, it is God Himself speaking to us, telling us to hold fast to Him. And so with that in mind, let us now turn our attention to God's Word, reading all 16 verses. Hear now again the Word of our Lord as He says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God remains forever and ever. Hearing God's word in the 91st Psalm is clear to see, I think, that we need to understand what is clear to see, is that God intends for every one of his people, every Christian, to experience safety and security in this world in which we live that is unsafe and insecure. If we do not know that security that comes from God and his gospel, we know that it leads to all sorts of problems in the Christian life. If you are to rely on the ways of the world to give you security, to give you safety, it will lead to bad relationships, it will lead to an inability to forgive, and it will lead to an inability to repent, it will lead to this idea of a fear of man, a humility that is false in every way. You see, if we do not rightly understand the security that we have from God in this world, we will look in every direction that is not towards God to find a way to change our circumstances. We'll say things like, if things were only different in my life, then I would be secure. If things could change in my circumstances, I would feel maybe more safe. I would feel like my God is near, even. You see, not knowing the safety and the security that God brings immediately begins to cause you to question God's care for you. Oftentimes, when bad circumstances, difficult situations come into your path, the first thing you will say is, why is God allowing me to experience such a situation, such a circumstance, such a frustration or an anxiety? And the psalmist tells us that it's actually God who sovereignly cares for his people so that we do not have to look to the ways of the world to find any sort of answers. But the psalmist tells us that the Christian life is designed to cast our eyes upon our Christ. You see, the whole object of this psalm, admittedly, the psalmist, the author, is unknown to us, but the whole idea of the way that he writes is to show us that we are to, have the right to, trust in God in the midst of the danger that we're experiencing, amidst the fearfulness that oftentimes our circumstances bring, the insecurity that we feel from our own experiences. The psalmist wants us to cast our eyes upon Jesus, who sits on the throne in heaven, all things under his governance and all of his enemies underfoot. And he tells us these things because he has experienced these very things. If you look back at verses 1 and 2, as we open up with our first main point, the psalmist's testimony, you see there that he says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You see, he's saying that you are safe at home with God. That the only place you are to find shelter and refuge is in God. In fact, he says that God overshadows or shadows the saints. He shadows you. For those who trust in God surely have His protection. And He says, I know this because I have experienced this. You know, oftentimes we will say something like, I want my doctor to have some sort of experience. I want my surgeon to do the surgery before, right? How comforting would it be if you were going in for something like open heart surgery and the doctor walks into your room right before you're put to sleep and he says, you know, this is my first go at it. And all of a sudden, the anxiety is elevated a million times a million. Well, the psalmist is saying, don't just take me at my word for it. It's not that I've just studied it in a book, but I have experienced the protection, the care, the fortress, which is my God. You see, don't you, in verse 2, how he tells you that this God in which he talks about is mine. He takes possession of it. The shadow of the Almighty is from the Lord, who is my refuge, my fortress, my God. Anytime you see the Old Testament kind of giving you these three statements, much like the angels around the throne are saying, holy, 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 it's as if he's underlining and highlighting the very fact that God is holy, that God is the very definition of holiness. Well, here the psalmist uses that trifecta, so to speak, to help you underline that this God who gives protection, this God who gives safety, the God who is with you and indwells you in the midst of danger, is underlined and highlighted that He is your God, your fortress, your shelter, your refuge. And so the psalmist is asking you to think of those moments in your life when you have found shelter in some sort of tangible danger and realize that God Himself is your shelter in every danger. He is your shadow. And I think we know something about this idea of shade or shadow or refuge. It was just a few weeks ago that I was playing golf in the middle of the day here in Dillon when there was a heat advisory going on. And we were playing our first hole of the tournament, and I was standing there ready for my second shot, and I was just pouring sweat. And if you know me, you know that I sweat fairly easily. But nonetheless, it was just kind of abnormal how much I was sweating, and I had only been, really in the sun for less than 30 minutes. And I looked at my partner who I was playing with, and I said, the heat index has to be over 100. And he looked at his phone, and he pulled it up. He said, actually, the heat index right at this very moment is 111. And we hit our second shots onto the green, and on this specific green, hole 17 in Dillon, you know that this huge tree overshades the putting green. And as we walked up onto the putting green, and we walked up under the shade of this tree, it was like the temperature immediately fell 30 degrees. It is almost like, and I know this is supernatural feeling, it's almost like Jesus Himself was blowing fresh air into my face. And I thought, this is marvelous. Now, I understand it was still like 95 degrees. But you understand the coolness of the shade. It almost feels like you're protected from the heat. And in the same way the psalmist is saying to you this morning, it is only underneath the shadow of the Almighty that you can feel like you're getting a reprieve from the blazing rays of the sun. It's only here in the refuge of your God that you can feel fortified, that you can feel protected in the midst of danger. And you might be here this morning thinking, that is exactly what I need in my circumstance. I'm in the midst of a circumstance. I'm in the midst of a situation. I'm in the midst of an anxiety. I'm in the midst of a frustration. And I need my God to come and build His fortress around me. And the psalmist is saying, don't you see Him? Don't you see Him? He is the Most High God. There is no circumstance, no situation in the world that is higher than Him, greater than Him. He is the Almighty, and He is, I love the way He writes, He is yours. Take possession of Him. So the Lord, God Almighty, is yours. And the psalmist says, you want to know how I know? Because I have experienced the shadow of His safety. I have experienced His sovereignty, building His fortress around me. I am not telling you something I've never experienced before, but take my word for it. You are safe and secure in Jesus in this unsafe and insecure world. He says, I know that the care of the Almighty is real. And so He exhorts us in verses 3 through 13. Our second point, He exhorts us to find our dwelling place here in the Almighty's shade. It says in verse 9, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. And so the psalmist is saying, hear me loud and clear. Hear me loud and clear that those who dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, there will be nothing that you're not safe and secure from. That in all of your difficult circumstances, all of your hard experiences, no matter the circumstance, God keeps you because He providentially and tenderly cares for you. Now, immediately you might think, well, Matt, this psalm is just not true because I have been in the midst of hard circumstances. I have experienced troubles. That's not what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is not saying that you will never, ever experience troubles in this world. The psalmist is not saying that He will spare you from all things that are difficult in this world. No, He is telling you that He will deliver you out of those hard circumstances. That He will cover you amidst those difficult situations. You see, it's the psalmist who wants you to take comfort knowing that God will not spare you from harsh circumstances, but He will be with you in the midst of those hard circumstances. It's this idea of the shadow, isn't it? All the way back in verse 1, the shadow has to be there with you in the midst of the blazing sun for you to get some sort of protection or relief. And that's the promise of the Almighty, that He will shadow you from the rays, the dangerous rays of the sun. He will shadow you from the hardest circumstances. In the midst of those difficult situations, nothing will happen to you that is not willed by this caring and loving Christ. He will cover you. He will sustain you. He will ultimately deliver you out of that situation. I understand that oftentimes the deliverance that we need doesn't exactly come when we want it. And yet the Lord is saying that you are not walking in this valley alone. That you're not walking in the midst of this hard situation alone, but you are dwelling not in that circumstance, but you are dwelling in the Lord, the God Almighty. You know, I like to point this out to you when we come across it in the Psalter and in our Bibles. But if you look at verse 9, you see that Lord is in that superscript. It's in all capital letters, and it's pulling you back to Exodus 3. Where Moses there sees the bush on fire but not consumed, and he's told to take his shoes off because he's on holy ground, and there he's commissioned, isn't he? To go back to Egypt, to stand before Pharaoh and to say, let God's people go. And you remember Moses immediately begins questioning, why would I go in front of Pharaoh? Who am I to go and deliver this message on behalf of the Almighty? Why are they going to believe me? Why are they going to take me seriously? And you remember? His answer is, tell them that I am sent you. Tell them that Yahweh is how we say it in the Hebrew language. Tell them that Yahweh sent you. Well, that's the same name that the psalmist is declaring here in verse 9. Yahweh is your dwelling place. And if you think about just the story of Moses, was Moses' life as he returns to Egypt, all flowers and roses? I say this in jest, but did Moses sit there and drink cappuccino with Pharaoh and say, hey, listen, all things are good. Let's sip this coffee and let's have a good time. And when we're done, you can just send God's people away. No, Moses meets rejection. Moses meets persecution. Moses meets hard circumstances. And yet, the promise was, Yahweh will be with you. Yahweh will go with you. Yahweh will indwell you, and you will feel the shadow of my wings, and you will feel the works of my angels, and you will feel my comfort and my tender care that my people receive as they trust in me. And you say, that's all well and good. But has it ever happened to God's people here on this side of glory apart from the Bible? And this past week, while I was at General Assembly, I'm kind of ashamed to admit this, but we were in the midst of a committee report, and we had already voted on some kind of hard-pressing matters, and this committee report was really just a rubber stamp. Things are going well. Your minutes of your meetings look good. And so I began to read some on my phone, having a little bit of a mental break before we got on to some of the bigger business of the day. And I was introduced in something that I was reading to a guy named Robert Rayburn. You might know that name. I didn't know it until this past week. But he was a young minister who was also a chaplain in World War II over in the European theater. He had been part of an artillery unit in both France and Germany. And after the war was over, he happily moved back home to Chicago. He took a call to a church. He began starting a family. And then in 1950, he got a phone call and said, Bob, you've been called up to serve in the Korean War. And of course, his heart was broken, was shattered. He did not want to leave his family. He did not want to leave his church. And he began to voice those concerns. And his commanding officer said, don't worry about it. They'll send the National Guard before they ever send us. You'll have to do a 2-year stint around the United States, but you're never going to see any part of Korea. Just find where you're going to be based, move your family, tell your church you'll be back in 2 years and all things will be well. And so he did just that. His church graciously said, Robert, you can be our pastor after your active duty stint. Your family can move with you. And so they found themselves in the midst of Colorado at an army base there. Well, as soon as his family moved, the same week, he gets a phone call and says, you need to leave Camp Carson in Colorado, and you need to fly to a camp in California because next week you are being sent, deployed to Korea. And of course, his heart sank again, right? You just told me that I wouldn't have to go to Korea. My life was good. I've already spent my time being faced with all sorts of pains and persecutions and sufferings and danger. And so he goes to Japan where he's being briefed to eventually go to Korea. And he's told, one of you, and there's five men sitting in the room who are all chaplains, one of you are going to be given to the 187th Airborne. And Robert begins to put two and two together. And this is a parachuting group of men. And all of a sudden he goes, well, it's one of five, isn't it? Well, he goes, who's a Protestant in here? And three of them raise their hands and say, we're Catholics. And he goes, we've already got a Catholic chaplain. You'll go somewhere else. And now Robert's looking around saying, well, it's me or the Baptist. And the Baptist says, listen, I don't believe in the sovereignty of God. I'm not jumping out of a plane. And Robert says, I was about to look at the commanding officer and tell him that he was a fool, but Psalm 91 began to be pricked upon my heart. And he looks and he says, well, I guess it's me. And you know a chaplain, if you know anything about the military, gets a little side pistol and doesn't really ever get on the front lines of battle. Well, when he goes to his platoon, they tell him, Robert, you're jumping with your men tomorrow morning. And you're jumping behind enemy lines. And the only thing that Robert could pray the story goes, is don't let my actions, don't let my fear ruin the testimony of the Almighty. And so he loads into this plane and he literally gets sick outside of the plane. And all of a sudden, as he's strapped into the plane, he says that he feels this peace that only God could give. And all these men who are anxious about jumping behind enemy lines, who have jumped 100 times before, are looking at Robert. And Robert's asleep. He's completely at peace with what's about to happen. He's never jumped before, never been behind enemy lines before. He's just a chaplain with a side pistol. And he is sleeping. And he says that when the sergeant wakes him and pushes him out the plane, he says that his stomach rises to his mouth. And yet the only thing he can think is, I was under the shadow of the Almighty. And you might say, well, Matt, my problem's not communists shooting at me from the land through the sky. Well, beloved, our dangerous situations, our anxious moments, our difficult circumstances often feel like the evil one himself is throwing fiery darts upon us. And the only thing that we need to say is, don't let my fear cause anyone to question the safety of the Almighty God. Don't let my fear push my eyes to anything that this world has to offer, but let my eyes be solely focused upon Christ, the author and finisher of my faith, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who has already given me the victory over my enemies and the victory over my sins and the victory over my hard circumstances. If I will simply dwell in the place of the Lord, no evil shall be allowed to harm me without the will of my heavenly Father executing it. And that's something that we need to understand. When God speaks in verses 14 and 16, this is our last point. When God speaks in verses 14 and 16, notice that He says that this safety is only for His people. This safety is exclusive for the saints, is exclusive for the sons and daughters of God. Because He holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him and I will protect him because he knows my name. Don't you see? It's only those who know the name of the Lord. And what's His name? His name, remember in verse 9, is Yahweh, the God of the promises, the God who will go with you and indwell you in the midst of hard circumstances, in the midst of difficult situations. Yahweh will be with you if you know His name. And this is God saying, hold fast to me. Hold fast to me who in love will deliver you, who in love will protect you, because you are His and He is yours. Look at the promises that are in verse 15 and 16. When you call, He will answer. When you are in trouble, He will be with you. When you are in the midst of a difficult circumstance, He will rescue you and He will honor you. He will satisfy you and He will show you His salvation. Well, beloved, isn't that a beautiful invitation? That in the midst of all of our hard circumstances, within the midst of all of our difficult situations, in the midst of a world that is broken and tainted by sin, in the midst of those times in which the evil one seems to throw his fiery darts at us, that God has promised that if you know Him, if you will hold fast to Him, He will deliver and protect. He will answer and He will be with you, and He will rescue and He will honor you from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray to God together. Father in heaven, we do thank You for being our refuge and our fortress. May You, O Lord, grant that we would believe this, Your word, so that we might face every scheme of the evil one and every hard circumstances and fiery trial that might come our way with confidence, knowing that as we hold fast to You, You will rescue and You will deliver and You will show us Your salvation time and time again until we reach